Hey, what's cracking, my business of living family? How is everybody doing? Are you living your life to the fullest? Are you getting kicked around a little bit? I'll tell you what, I'm getting kicked around a little bit this week. My whole family has this nasty cold, including yours truly. That's why this episode is coming out a little bit later in the week. We were sick as dogs, hacking up a lung, but we're doing better now. And I'm back to it, better late than never. Today, I want to give you an inside peek into a project I've been working on for a couple years now, actually, that I don't talk a lot about, but I think you'll find this story interesting and inspiring, and it might even spark something in you. Back in April of 2020, so right on the eve of the pandemic, I get this message from Facebook. Some guy on Facebook, no idea who he is. He just starts sending me messages. How are you, brother? How's it going? So, you know, typically, I'll just ignore messages like this. I get them all the time from people in other countries asking me to please send money because there's poor children who are starving. And I have no idea what's real and what's fake. Generally, I think for the most part, they are scams and people just trying to get my bank information so they can get some free money sent over to Kazakhstan or wherever they are from. So typically I'll just ignore these messages, but this day was different. I don't know why. I just decided to respond and I said, hey, how are you? It turns out this guy is a pastor from Lahore, Pakistan, which is a city that's closer to the Indian border. And we struck up a conversation, pretty casual at first. You know, how many kids do you have? What are their names? You know, what do you do for fun in Pakistan? Stuff like that. So we sent messages back and forth on Facebook Messenger every couple days or so. And eventually I asked him, what are some of your biggest challenges? He said in, you know, very broken English, I pastor a church in a very poor village where people are hungry, they don't have enough food, they don't have enough money to live, and so I care for these people within my church. I thought, wow, that's honorable to take on the responsibility of caring for these people, to pray for them, to lead them, to teach them about God. So I asked him, what is your community's biggest need right now? I remember him almost laughing. He said, food. We need food. At the time, I had a little bit of money left over in my tithe account, my account for giving, and it wasn't much money. It was about 60 bucks and some change. And I thought, what's the worst that can happen? If this guy's a scam artist, he can take my 60 bucks, and that's on him for not using it well. He says he's a pastor. He had sent me several videos and pictures of his church and him singing and preaching and doing and helping people and all that kind of thing. So I thought, what's the worst that can happen? Jumped on Western Union, sent out this 60 bucks and change over to this guy in Pakistan and thought nothing of it and walked away. About a week later, I get a message from this pastor. His name is Javed. And he sent me a picture of every single thing that he bought and what it costs in US dollars and converted it over to the Pakistani rubies. And listed out every single food item that he purchased and how much it was and how much it weighed. Then on top of that, he recorded a video on his phone showing him giving food to each person in his community and recorded them receiving it. And I was blown away. The detail that he laid all this out and the way that he reported it to me instilled a whole lot of confidence in me. He was faithful with this small amount of money and was very thorough and responsible with how he used it. It immediately reminded me of that scripture that he who is faithful with little will be given much. Something was going on here, and I had no idea where this would lead, but man, was this interesting. Here I am developing a friendship with a pastor online from Pakistan, of all places, and we're communicating on a regular basis. Now, Javed is a very enthusiastic, some might say obsessive sort of fella. Then he started calling me directly through Messenger. And the calls kept coming over and over and over again. And it wasn't just about asking money. He wanted to connect with me. He was very grateful. He was so kind. But he also called me multiple times per day, every day, to the point where I had to block him so my notification on my phone wasn't going off every couple minutes. But he was so grateful that he just wanted to offer me something. So he would regularly call me up just to pray for me, pray for my family. And there was a significant language barrier. So often he would pray in his native Urdu language. And it was pretty cool to be a part of that because we had a connection that we couldn't explain, that couldn't be defined by language, which I would call the Holy Spirit, where we knew we were together, even though we didn't understand each other's words. It was pretty awesome. So our friendship continued to progress. We would pray for each other, pray for each other's families every once in a while. And eventually we started talking about what we might be able to do together. In Pakistan in general, education is for people who are wealthy and have money that can pay for it. So if you don't have money or if you're poor, you don't get to go to school. In this particular part of Lahore, Pakistan, what that meant was you'd likely be working at a brick factory or some sort of low-level labor job. And oftentimes the conditions are pretty brutal in those situations. So Javed kept talking about education. If we could just get books to the kids and help them learn, they could have more options in life than working at the brick factory. So we started there. I sent him some money to buy some books, and he did the same. Tracked everything that he spent, showed pictures of him giving these books to the children. He would go to different villages around where he lived and offer these books for free, and the kids were through the roof excited, as well as the parents, because they knew if their kids could learn and had access to the right books, they might have a different future. And this is where the idea of creating a school was born. I knew nothing about what that meant or what had to be done. I just knew that there was a need and that I was in. So piece by piece, Javed and I started putting together plans for creating a school. I sent money for books, for backpacks. Eventually, we had uniforms created. I had somebody on Fiverr create a logo. We had the logo sewed onto each individual uniform. Javed went out and recruited different kids from different villages. Well, he didn't have to do much recruiting. He just said, I'm starting a school, and they were there. The opportunity to get an education, yeah, just tell me when and where and I'll be there is how most families responded. Javed recruited some teachers. We started paying the teachers to go around to these different villages and start teaching the kids using the books that we had purchased. We handed out uniforms. It turns out the US dollar goes pretty far in Pakistan. Then we thought, well, instead of traveling around everywhere, why don't we look for a central location and have all the kids come to that location for school? So Javed asked around. He talked to landlords and he talked to building owners and finally found a building. And it needed a lot of work. It was kind of crumbling on the inside. So there's workers that came in and fixed the plaster, cleaned and painted and prepared the space. The next challenge was furniture. There was no place to sit. There's no desks. So Javed hired some people to make desks. And he sent me videos of everything. So he had steel laid out in the busy streets of Lahore where people were cutting it with angle grinders and welding these desks together right there in the streets and then painting them. So now we had desks. And then there were whiteboards and signs and all sorts of little details that came together over this 3-year period. And it led to the grand opening of the School of the Brave, which is a school for K through 7 at this point. Soon we'll be adding 8th grade, and we're continuing to expand from there. We have a full-time principal and teachers and a curriculum that the kids are working through. They're learning English, and they're also learning in their native language. Just this past week, the kids went on a field trip to a museum. We call it the School of the Brave for a lot of reasons. First of all, when you're poor and you don't have a lot of prospects in life or access to education, it doesn't instill a high level of confidence in you. So I thought, what if these kids, once they entered this school, they were a part of something? The fact that they are there meant that they were brave and that they could face whatever obstacles that were going to come their way. It was an opportunity to see themselves in a different light. I've come to realize that thinking and how you think about yourself, how do you think about what's possible, is so critical. So I wanted right from the start for these kids to have high expectations for who they are and what is possible for them. My good friend Chris Niemeyer and I run a mastermind group called The Brave. It's a group of successful business owners who just want to get better. So we meet a couple times a month. A portion of the revenue from that group goes directly to support the School of the Brave. I thought that was such a cool connection. We have a group of people who are trying to be brave in their businesses and in their families and in their marriages, and a piece of their investment is going to help these kids in Pakistan find their lane and find their confidence and find their direction in life. So it's kind of cool how it all came together. So Chris Niemeyer has been a faithful supporter of the School of the Brave, as well as my good friend Christine Odell. She has such a heart for kids and education, and she's been a very successful financial coach and business owner. And so she has faithfully supported this mission as well, and I'm so grateful for that. So that's the School of the Brave. And why do I share this story with you? Because I want you to know that God uses ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. I'm getting a little better every day, but often I'm a hot mess when it comes to organization and understanding how things work. I think I focus on coaching and bettering myself so much because I'm such a hot mess. But we are capable of so much more than we realize, especially when we have the heart to give. It's amazing what can happen if you are open and you take a little bit of action. One thing I've seen as I've coached hundreds of entrepreneurs is that they far underestimate what's possible if they commit to something for 3 to 5 years. And they way overestimate what they can accomplish in 3 to 6 months. After 3 to 6 months, the School of the Brave looked like a handful of books and a poor pastor on the back of a broken motorbike going from village to village. What have you given up on too early because you didn't see the results in the first 3 to 6 months? I also think sometimes we overthink things. Like as soon as you start thinking of a school in Pakistan, you're probably thinking about, well, what about the 501c3? What about the transfer of money? Like, I don't know how that's all going to work. It's too risky. How am I going to write this off? How am I going to take money from other donors and write that off for them? Yeah, these might be important questions at some point, but they don't necessarily have to be answered before you step forward. I haven't created a 501c3 yet. Right now, it's just a project that I'm working on. And if people want to help out with the project, they can. Yeah, now that might not be the most ideal accounting situation, but I'll work toward that and I'll learn how to set that up in the right way by talking to the right people and learning more as I go. But this would have never happened if I started asking those questions and said, whoa, let's not move forward until we figure all this out first. And there's a balance to that because you don't want to be totally irresponsible. You have to exercise wisdom when you make decisions and you take steps forward. But don't be paralyzed by all the what ifs and all the little details. If you know it's the right thing to do, then figure out a way to do it. Take that step forward. And I'm generally pretty trusting, maybe a little bit too trusting, but I've learned that you can be trusting and also verify. Take the time to do a little bit of due diligence to make sure that somebody isn't pulling the wool over your eyes. If a knucklehead like me can build a school in Pakistan, imagine what's possible for you. I hope this story sparks something in you. Maybe you have a desire to be generous or to give or to offer your gifts and talents for the benefit of somebody else. Today's a good day to step into that and to take a step toward that. Remember, you don't have to have it all figured out and completely mapped out before you take a step. Sometimes the most revealing, clarifying thing you can do is to take a step forward. You can't have more fun and joy and fulfillment in life than in giving. I promise you that, my friend. Try giving something away and feeling bad. Try giving something away and feeling depressed. See what it does for your mental health, for your business, for your finances. There's so many benefits to giving and being generous. You will be blown away. When you commit to giving and being generous, your life will immediately get better. And remember, you don't have to be wealthy to give. Remember where this school started? 60 bucks and some change is what got the School of the Brave off the ground. This episode was not meant to be a campaign for the School of the Brave, but hey, if that's something that you want to contribute to, if this is grabbing your heart and you have some money that you want to contribute to it, awesome. Every little bit helps. There are kids who are begging to be a part of the School of the Brave, and this would allow us to get more teachers and expand and serve more kids in Pakistan. So I will welcome any donations. I'll leave my Venmo link in the show notes if you're interested in that. If you have something on your heart that you want to do, if there's something that you've been wanting to do for a long time that you know is deep within you and that you care about deeply, don't overestimate what can be accomplished in a short period of time. And don't underestimate what's possible over a longer period of time, 3 to 5 years. All you need to do is take a step today, and before you know it, what you have dreamed of and what you have hoped for will be right in front of your eyes. It might not be the exact picture that you had in your mind. It might be totally unexpected, but you will have something of value if you give your vision a chance to materialize. Well, I hope you have an amazing week. Thank you for your patience as I get back up and running, and we'll keep it going here on the Business of Living. Have a wonderful weekend, and I'll see you next week.